Some of you will be just thinking, you know, what a month or even what a week. You know, things have been changing very rapidly. We do not know, you know, what is going to happen tomorrow, right? We live in a time, very uncertain time. Many a times we have doubts. We are asking questions. There's a lot of insecurity that's happening all around us. And I think when I look at, the more I look at Scripture, you know, I see God's Word is so powerful, right? God's Word is so active. I think it is important for us as Christians, right, to draw strength and from God's Word and to see what God is trying to say. Because each and every moment, if you every time you turn your TV on, right, your radio on, you're just bombarded. You know what's happening. The numbers are given. This is happening. Panic buying is going on. There are so many things happening. But I think it's important for us as Christians, right, to sit down and to ask, you know, what is God trying to tell us? What is God teaching us? You know, when I look at Scripture today, the passage that I want to see, there are simple lessons that we draw from this particular passage. And simple lessons, but they are fundamental lessons for each and every one of us to help. The passage that was just read today and the earlier verses that you read, you know, Jesus is talking about our treasures because he's talking about where our focus is, where is our aim is. If our treasures, the worldly treasures, our heart longs for this. And so Jesus is wanting us to live a different life altogether, a life that will seek him, a life that will actually glorify him and praise his name. And so we are going to pray and ask God to speak to us as we look at the scripture that was read to us. A very familiar passage, right? Can you imagine Jesus is looking at the crowd, right, in a beautiful place, and he's just speaking because he realizes where people are in their lives and where what's happening in their lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for a time that we can come together as a church of God to draw strength from your word. We thank you, Lord, for the word that is given to us, that we have access to your word of God. Your word is so rich, oh Father. Your word is so encouraging. It helps us, oh God. Lord, we can draw strength and guidance from your word. We pray, Father, that you'll speak to us as we listen to your word, oh God. May your spirit continue to convict us, Father, and help us to draw much more closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I were asked to a question, right, if I, you know, I believe you have your bulletin in front of you, right, if I say, you know, write three things that you're anxious about, right, what would you write? If you take your bulletin, there are certain columns. If you have three things that you are so anxious about, you're so worried about, or that has actually disturbed you in this past month or this week, you know, what would be your three worries or anxiety that you might write? Maybe some of us would be immediately write about what's happening in the world today, right? Some of us might write about the job insecurity that will take place because of what's happening. And some of us will write, you know, I'm afraid about my plans. What's going to happen to my plans? And many of us will write so many things, right, because the things that's happening in the world. And when you start writing, and that was what Jesus was trying to say, you know, and people were just thinking of so many things, and Jesus said, you know, I want you to look at these things. Let's look at the passage that was just read to us today, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, if you read verses 25 onwards. So Jesus says, you know, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you wear. Is not life more than food and body more than clothes? And so if you look at the passage that was just read, you realize there's one particular word is coming again and again, and then again and again. And that's the emphasis of this particular passage. It's the word worry. People were worried. And the earlier verses talks about people were worried about their treasures. because they thought, this is life. This is what I'm going to depend on. And so Jesus is just bringing them back and saying, these are important lessons for us, simple lessons, but fundamental lessons for us. And so he says, do not worry about life. You know, the first thing when you look at that word, you might think, you know, should I be indifferent to what's happening in the world today? Should I not be worried about what's happening in the world today? There are so many things. Do you want me to just smile at this? I think that's not the way Jesus is wanting us to react. He's not calling us to be indifferent to what's happening in the world today. When I look at the word worry and the passage that was just read to us, you know, there is a difference between worry and concern, right? The worry that is written in this particular passage or the words that Jesus is using is the, in the Greek word, is called marinma. You know, in other words, it is a word that is very close to anxiety. It's a word that speaks about that, about, you know, you're so worried that you're looking at yourself and saying, you know, I'm not able to do this. You're looking at your own strength. You're looking at your own limitation and saying, you know, I don't have the ability to do it. And this worry that Jesus uses in the Greek word, it paralyzes you. You are driven by fear. I'm afraid because I do not know what to do, right? I'm just looking at my strength and I realize I don't have this ability to defend myself. And that is the worry. As we were driving, as I was driving together with my family to the church, right, I was just hearing a clinical psychologist who was just speaking over the radio. And he says, when a person is really worried, there are certain enzymes that, you know, comes into your body. And you realize that you want to take control of your life because of the fear, because of insecurity that happens to you. And earlier I was reading another article. It says, when you're worried, there is fear, right? There's a lot of fear, and fear leads to violence. And that's what is happening in the world today, my friend. And so Jesus is using that particular word. He says, you know, when you're worried, you're just self-centered, right? There's no more faith in this. Your faith is being questioned. Doubt comes in. You're driven by fear. You're paralyzed. But concern is a different word. And Paul uses that particular word. If you realize, in Paul uses in Philippians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, for I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. It's a different, it's almost the same word, but in a very positive sense. The same Greek word, but in a positive sense. This word, concern, promotes, you know, you're driven by love. There is faith involved. And the goal is to help. And that's the word, you know, Paul is using. And so Jesus is aware, you know, of the anxiety that we look at ourselves and we realize we are unable. So fear creeps into our lives. It paralyzes us, right? And many times it leads to violence, right? It leads to a chaotic lifestyle. And so Jesus is addressing and he says, you know, there are simple lessons that Jesus is drawing us into this, from this particular passage. The first thing, when I look at this particular passage, God, Jesus is saying, you know, trust God's care. In other words, he says, just trust me. Just trust me. I think every time you have heard this word, many times when we come to church, just trust me. I think that is what God is wanting us to do even right now, even right today, my friend, just to trust that he cares. He cares for us. I was reading a story about this, and an article about this robin, two birds, right? And so the father robin was telling the son, you know, son, let's go. I'll teach you how to catch worms. And so the son was so excited because the dad felt that it is time for the son to learn about how to catch worms. And so one day, the dad brought him to an open field and told the son to, you know, watch me how I do. And, you know, the father was so good, right? And he was working on the ground and he caught hold of the worm. And then the son, you know, for a moment, the son was looking at the father. You know, he looked so excited and suddenly he became so worried. And the dad asked him, what's wrong? What's happening to you? And the son said, you know, Dad, what if the worms aren't here tomorrow? What if they're all of a sudden all gone? If they're not here tomorrow, what if they're all gone? And the father smilingly looked at the son and said, and let me read, you know, in the article it said, Son, the worms will never run away. They're always there. God provides the worms for us each day. They are here today, they were here yesterday, and they will be here tomorrow because God provides them. I think that's what God is trying to tell us in this particular passage, right? He says, trust my care. You know, look at, you know, I know that you're concerned about your food, you're concerned about your clothing. These are the basic things. And God says, you know, I care for you because your life is more than these things, these basic things that we are concerned about. And so when you look at this particular passage, he says, you know, Jesus is just inviting the people when he was sitting down and teaching them. He says, you know, I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about your food. I'm concerned about your clothing. These are the basic things. And you have access to this, all these things. But even the smallest basic things that is needed in your life, God says, I'm concerned about it. Many times I think we don't worry about food because we have access to food, right? We are not worried about clothing because we have a closet large and having a lot of things. We are not worried about all these things. Those are minor things, you know, that we might even not think about. But God says, those are minor things. But I'm also concerned about the minor things of your life. Maybe you're not bothered about this, but God says, I'm concerned about this. I will provide even the things that you're not worried about, you're not concerned about, or you're not even thinking about. I'm a God who provides your food, your clothing, the basic needs. And so Jesus is inviting the people just by saying, you know, look up, right? Look to the birds, right? And he says, look to the birds because they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store, they don't harvest, right? But God provides. God provides. And he reminds us, are you not much more valuable than they are? They don't do, they don't harvest, they don't reap, but they just enjoy because they know God somehow will provide food that is important for them. And we are much more valuable. You know, God is reminding us, you know, even this, the basic thing in our life he's concerned about. He wants to meet our basic needs. And secondly, we look at another word he's also using, right? He says, and why are you worried about clothes, right? See the flowers of the field grow, right? When you look at it, they don't toil, right? They don't spin, but look at them. They're so beautiful. Much more better than Solomon's splendor, right? And that's the way God is just reminding us. God is reminding us even today, even the church, even to each and every one of us, even including me, trust my care, and I'm concerned even your basic needs. You're much more valuable than all these things. Simple lessons, but those are fundamental lessons. Simple truths, but those are fundamental things, and then God wants us to lean on. And not only moments like this, but each and every moment of our life. Look at the passage again, right? Let's look at the passage again. And when you look at the passage again, Jesus is telling us to seek God first. We have heard it, right? We have heard it many times. But he says, you know, seek me first. Seek me first. I was reading an article about, from Amazon, some folks from Amazon were doing a research a couple of years ago. And in the research, they wanted to know, you know, Amazon was reading, doing a research on those who were using a Kindle, and people, particularly people who are reading the Bible. They wanted to know, you know, what is the important verse Christians are highlighting, or Christians are, you know, marking down. And so they wanted to know. And so when they were looking at, they were doing a study, you know, they realized it was not John 3:16. It was not John 3:16, and for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? It was not John 3:16. To their surprise and to the surprise of many, and this verse was a verse that many Christians who were reading the Bible, they highlighted, they marked, they made some kind of remarks or comments. And this was the verse, right? The verse is, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, right, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, right, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I think that was the verse that many Christians who were using Kindle, right, they were just highlighting because they knew the importance of seeking God first. Right? They shouldn't be anxious about anything, but in everything, just going back to God, knocking the doors of God and asking God to help them. I came across another article, and this scientist by the name of Henry Durman, he was addressing a group of young college students, and he said these words, and he said, gentlemen, I beseech you to seek the kingdom of God first, or not at all. I promise you're miserable if you seek it second. He says, I beseech you to seek the kingdom of God, or not at all. If you don't seek God's kingdom, don't. Because he says it is going to be miserable if the kingdom of God becomes second in our life. And so Jesus is teaching us another simple lesson by saying, you know, seek me, right? Seek me because I'm the one who's able to do the impossible things in our life. Let's look at the word, right, and just see what Jesus is trying to teach us. He says, seek his first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, when I was looking at the word seek, right, it's a very interesting word. It's a word that says you have an aim. You're just looking for something. You're looking and you're driven. You're telling yourselves, no, I'm going to find. I'm going to seek. There is a constant action. You're constantly seeking. It's not whenever it comes across. It's not a coincidence. You're constantly on the move. You're seeking. And that's what Jesus is saying. You need to seek his kingdom. And the word first, it's a very interesting word. The first thing, the initial thing, the beginning. The Greek word is very interesting, right? You seek, and that should be the way. You're always looking. You're always searching. You're always on a constant move, seeking God's righteousness, God's justice, the virtues of God, the kingdom of God. And he says, and all these things shall be added unto you. I think that's important for us to know, right? Are we seeking? There's moments like this. I think it's important for us not only to trust that God cares for us, but are we seeking? Are we seeking? Is God, you know, the first person that we are seeking and we are longing and we desire and we say, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. And so Jesus is reminding us to seek his kingdom and his righteousness, right? And thirdly, let me finish with this. And the third thing, you know, let's look at the passage that was just read. I realize when I look at the next point, I see God says, accept my lead. In other words, he says, you know, accept that I am in control. In other words, God is telling us, just leave it to me. In simple terms, just leave it to me. Let go, which is something very difficult for many of us, right? Because we want to take control of our lives. We want to take control, because if we don't have control, right, we realize that we are in a stage, we do not know what's happening. And so Jesus is inviting us again by saying, accept my lead, just leave it to me, because I'm sovereign, I'm in control of all these things. And so he says, just give it to me. You know why? Look at the verse 34. It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In other words, you know, Jesus is teaching us from this particular verse that we do not know about tomorrow. None of us can say what is going to happen tomorrow, right? We do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. Or even the next hour, we do not know. We don't have any control about tomorrow. We don't have any control about our future, my friend. We thought, you know, the year 2020 would start nice, because even the number is so nice, right? 2020. Perfect vision. We thought everything is going to be perfect. We realize it didn't. We do not know. Day by day, you know, things are just changing differently. And we do not know. And so God is teaching us by saying this particular verse, you know, just leave it to me. Are we willing to let go and say, Lord, you take control. Lord, I just, because I want to be in control, because when I control, I feel secured, I feel safe, right? But God says, no. You are limited, because I know you don't have control over tomorrow. You just leave it to me. When I look at this particular word, and have you realized when you go through your baptism class, whoever conducted the baptism class would ask you this question, right? Is Jesus your Savior? We will say, yes. Yes, Jesus is my Savior. But the next question, is Jesus your Lord? That's an important question. Yes, Jesus is my Savior. But is Jesus your Lord? Will you be able to say, Jesus is my Lord, because I'm just leaving everything to Him and say, Lord, you are the master of my life and you are in control of my life, and I just give myself to you. Lord, you just lead me. And that's why we sing the song, Trust and Obey, for there is no other way, right, to be happy in Jesus. Just to trust, leave it to Him and obey, because there is no other way to be happy in Jesus. Let me finish with this story about a young girl who wanted to come into the father's room. The father was a pastor. He was a Methodist minister. I was reading this article. And this young little girl went, and she realized the door was, the door was closed. She was so tiny. So she was trying to, she was trying to meddle with the knot. She almost reached the knot. She touched, right, the fringes of the knot, and she was trying to turn, but she was not able to do much. But the father heard the sound. The father heard. He was in his study room. He heard. And then, to a surprise, the door opened, right? And she ran to the dad and said, Dad, I've done it myself. I've opened the door, right? And she was so happy. She said, Dad, I finally opened the door. But the story says she was unaware that the father, heard her voice. Her father heard the voice of the noise of the child, the voice of the child. And the father knew that she was trying to come in. And so what he did, right? She was not aware, but he just went slowly, and he turned the knot so that the girl would actually come in. She thought, she was the one who did it. She tried, but it was her father who was on the other side of the door who actually opened the door for the girl. You know, when I look at the story, I realize, yes, I think God wants us to be like the child, right? Just to seek Him. Just to go after Him, do what God wants us to do. And let me tell you, God opens the door, my friend. We are unable to. We need to attempt. We need to seek. Right? We need to be just knocking, but God opens the door for us. Today, my friend, I think the Word of God reminds us. We thank God for the Word because God is inviting us to trust Him. Right? He says, just trust me. If I can take care of the birds, if I can take care of the beauty, these flowers, you are much more valuable. Right? You are much more valuable. If I can take care of your food or your clothing, I can take care of all your needs. And God says, just seek me first. Just come. Knock at my door. Spend time with me. Talk to me. Draw closer to me. Listen to my voice. Hear my voice. And then He says, just leave it to me. Let go and say, Lord, you take control. And I'll just follow. Let's pray. Dear friends, I want to echo the words that Jesus mentioned for this particular passage. Simple lessons, but they're fundamental. God says, just trust me. If I can take care of the birds, you're much more valuable. If I can clothe the flowers, you're much more valuable. And so He's telling us, do not be worried. Just trust my care. And I believe God is wanting us to look at our lives, look at our journey. You know, God has been so wonderful taking care of us. Will He not take care of us? And God is also telling us, you know, seek me. Search me again. Look for me. Desire, long for me. Let me be the first in your life. Seek my word, my values, my just. Seek the heavenly things. And God says, when you seek me, I'll take care of you, all your needs. Dear friends, are we willing to let go and say, Lord, I accept your lead? I believe that is one of the most difficult things for us to do. But God says, you know, just leave it to me. Because you do not know about your tomorrow. But God says, no, I know about the tomorrow because I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just leave it to me. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, O God. We thank you that we can draw strength from your word. We thank you, Lord, though, Lord, your word is so wonderful, O God. But many times we read it again and again. But help us, O Lord, to trust you. Help us, O Lord, to seek you. Help us, O Lord, to just surrender everything to you and say, Lord, you show me the way. Help us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.